From the hallowed halls of Flood Law, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Flood Law. Flood Law, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. Time has flown by. Summer can't hit us fast enough. It's a beautiful day today, but there's a ton of things going on in the news that are relevant to Behind the Bench. We're going to have a couple great guests on tonight. Andrew Abood, who you just heard in the last news segment, he's going to be calling in and talking to us about Dr. Nasser and his lawsuits against Dr. Nasser and the defaults that are going on there. If we're fortunate tonight, Justice Viviano it may be coming on tonight if we can get in touch with him. He's got a few things going on, a full plate, and plus taking care of his family. But we have him on deck circle for coming in tonight to talk to us about the Michigan Supreme Court and the vacancy with Justice Young, who's now looks like he's going into private practice or going to be working in the legal field for a law firm, which was just announced. And some other going-ons in the news. One of the best firms in the state, Bodman, here in Detroit and Troy and up north, they just opened up a shop, which is new for them, in Grand Rapids, one of the stronger firms in our state, and a presence over there. We might get Ralph McDowell or Dave Larson on tonight to talk about that move and what it takes to make a presence on the west side. They are a stronghold in the state and actually probably throughout the country for many things. So that's interesting. What it takes for a law firm of that size and what goes into the metrics of putting themselves into a different place. And why? What's the advantage of it? Probably because they have several clients over there, but we'll see. Crazy stuff happening federally. You can't make some of this stuff up. You have the former director of the FBI testifying today, and all of the questions that have come up and have been brought to the forefront with WikiLeaks. I'm sure there's several questions, and people, I can assure you, have stopped me on all the going on in Washington with the investigations and the like. 1-800-859-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0-957. So what say you? I wanted to bring up anecdotally for all of you, I've been working on this case for a while. Flint is really primarily my only major case and task in front of me. I've kept on in touch and have been managing a few other cases. My law firm has graciously separated me from the mainstay of cases and have been handling everything. However, there is a case I did want to bring to people's attention that is something for everyone, for the consumers out there, and that is insurance, your auto insurance. It's something where people really listen to their insurance agent, buy their insurance, and usually use all the resources of the insurance company to know what they're doing and how they're doing and setting up the policies. Well, in a matter that brings, I haven't had in front of me, and many of the people involved in the case haven't had in front of them. It is your primary insurance for whatever insurance company you have for your car, State Farm, you name it, AAA, wherever. And then you get a umbrella coverage through your homeowner's insurance to up the ante on what your potential coverage is. Well, most people don't bother to check and double check their coverage of what their umbrella is, and if there's any gap in the insurance. And it has come to my attention, this has happened more times than I realized, but people are getting insurance, their primary care coverage on their car, for example, $100,000, and then they get the umbrella to get more coverage, but they don't properly make sure that there isn't a gap. And so what that means is you want your umbrella to pick up right after your primary. So you want it to pick up at 100,000 and go up to whatever it is, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, whatever the 500,000, whatever your umbrella you want to have. Well, we have been working diligently and difficultly in this case where the insured has a gap in the policy where their primary is 100,000 and then their umbrella picks up at hypothetically 300,000. So wherein lies the snafu? The insurance agent now is and should be on the hook potentially for the admission and errors to make sure that they covered their customer and their client well. But I got to tell you, for all of you out there that have experienced something like this or have an issue, it is something that could have been easily avoided, and the customer and the consumers can be protected properly when the insurance agent makes sure that his client and his customer are properly taken care of. And nowhere you want to be is in a lawsuit where you're arguing over what should have been taken care of a long time ago at the beginning and the inception if you're unfortunately involved in an accident. So we want to talk about that. 1-800-859-0WJR. Plenty of things on the on this case that is quite scary, and it takes place up in the Saginaw, where they're moving inmates. Obviously, one inmate has been early release, or his years have been cut, and then all of a sudden, there's a hit put out on him, and now you see the ability to make this happen. The protection of some of these people that cooperate or work with the government, clear that there needs to be a better practice put in place. We'll talk about that. We have someone coming in from that case up in Saginaw, and we hope to dive into the middle of what protections are out there for people that want to cooperate with the federal government and law enforcement. So we got a full plate. Next coming on is going to be Andrew Abood to talk to us a little bit about what he's been doing with the infamous Dr. Nassar in that case. So we'll be right back with Behind the Bench just after this.
You're listening to Behind the Bench, radio's most comprehensive legal forum, where you ask the questions and Todd Flood provides informal counsel. Submit your legal questions at 800-859-0WJR. And get to know Todd Flood at floodlaw.com. Now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. So, as promised and delivered, we have one of the great attorneys in the state of Michigan. He's practices all over Detroit, Lansing, Grand Rapids, up north. Does both civil and criminal work, a true trial lawyer / litigator, and is fighting for the rights of a victim that was raped by Dr. Nassar. So with us tonight, a good friend and colleague and an honor to have on. Andrew, you with us, bud?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Those are some kind words. I would correct you. It's Larry Nassar. He no longer deserves the privilege of being called doctor, as the state, I think, has revoked his license. So
I stand corrected. You are right. He was a wolf in sheep clothing, taking advantage of, I don't know, do we actually have a number of how many women or girls that he actually took advantage of?
I think Stephen Drew and John Manley have about 80, and then Graywall and Dave Middleman of Church Weibel have about 30.
Wow.
So that's 110, and then there's a handful of attorneys like myself, and I think Ben Johnson has one or two, and Jim Graves has a few, and Brian McKean has a few. So
I've read what this man has done, but you know basically how serious the assaults were and are, and what your client, if you can tell us a little bit about what she had to endure.
You know, the modus operandi was fairly similar in almost all of them, that he would bring them in, and he was held in extremely high regard in this community. He was an Olympic gymnast coach, and if you Google him, you see him sort of actually on the Olympic floor with some of the gymnasts. But he was held in high regard, and so he was given a lot of credit, and people would see him. In my particular case, my client was seeing him for a pulled hamstring. She was 12 years old, and he would tell her to wear short shorts or a leotard, and he would begin a treatment for the hamstring, and generally every time it would end with him penetrating her.
Wow.
At 12 years old, she thought it was unusual, but ultimately thought, as a doctor, he knew what he was doing, you know, and deferred to him. And he kind of explained to the parent who was there, at least on one occasion, that he knew what he was doing and that this was the appropriate treatment, although she, the mother, didn't actually know, because she was covered with a blanket, didn't actually know, was kind of in the room, but wasn't actually observing where his hands were.
Wow.
So that's a fairly consistent, you know, story amongst the 100 women or so.
Wow. And in this particular case, in your case, you obviously sued. Everyone's going to want to know a couple things, but you took a default. In other words, you filed your suit, and he failed to file an answer.
Right, which is significant. I mean, you can take what you want out of it, but in the federal system, and I think in the state system, but we're in federal court, when you take a default, the allegations in the complaint are deemed admitted. And
right.
I think that's significant for Nassar, because you can no longer say they're allegations. They're deemed admitted fact, and I think it hopefully makes a difference in regards to what defenses the institutions can raise and claim now that the allegations are deemed admitted.
So who are you suing? How many people? Who's in the lawsuit?
We've got a number of different individuals, and I don't care to shed light on who they are, because
right.
It's just a complaint, but we sued MSU. We sued Twistars, which is a private club here in Lansing, and has hundreds, if not thousands, of females that went through that program. And we've also sued USAG, which is a national gymnastics organization that was the subject of a 60 Minutes segment in which Nassar was the focus.
Is it the claim, and I don't want to dive too deep into your claims, but is it the claim, obviously, that these institutions, if they didn't know, they should have known that this was taking place, and that they basically have potentially covered things up, or at least hired this man negligently?
Yeah, all those claims are definitely made, you know.
Yeah,
knew or
yeah.
should have known is obviously alleged. But, you know, the more unfortunate thing is that the more we learn about this, the more Michigan State turns over in FOIAs and reports, the worse it gets. And you know, and I'm a Michigan State guy, and I was on the golf team, and I support them. But this is just not something that you never ever want to see from your alma mater.
Right, right. And it's always something that when you handle one of these cases, I would imagine in your experience, is that you find something where someone was given notice and the decision, whomever it may have been or could have been, they got notice that this man was a pedophile or, you know, a monster, and they did nothing about it. Is that stuff you're seeing close to this?
The Michigan State situation, it appears that they actually got a medical opinion to attempt to justify what he was doing, and that's what troubles me the most. Like, why would you need a medical opinion,
right,
when you have these young girls alleging penetration? I mean, a 12-year-old girl who suffers a hamstring, if she does nothing, she's going to heal. I mean, right?
Right,
She's going to be fine. They're not, most of these people are in the top percentile of athletic ability. So, you know, to say that, you know, obviously they want to compete and be competitive, and there was a lot going on to push themselves, but you wonder why you would need a second opinion. I mean, I don't think, You wouldn't have to be a medical doctor to just say, leave the girl alone, you know?
Right, right. So where do you stand now? You're in federal court. You got the default. Did you enter the default?
The default has been entered. We're obviously holding off on the judgment part, but the default's been entered, and the next stage is where all the other defendants have filed appearances by one lawyer or another, and we're moving forward in sort of a group effort. The 110 or so girls are trying to speak as strongly as possible through a concerted effort to pursue the claims, and we'll move forward with a case management order that, you know, moves swiftly and yet leaves no stone unturned.
There you go. Well, great job. Apparently, this is not something first time. We just had today Prosecutor Layton up in Flint, who just charged a hypnotherapist with criminal sexual conduct in the first degree, you know, rape, if you will, penetration, and false imprisonment and the like. And you've seen these cases.
We're in different times right now, really different times with social media and what it really causes people to act beyond the normal boundaries, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as it relates to social media, how long have you been practicing law now?
It's 27 years.
27 years. So as we go past in these past few years, just past 2-3 years, the escalation of information being passed through Facebook and videos and all of the stuff going on in our world with what kids do and what people promote, it's a totally different world for us as lawyers. And I got to believe you've had some crazy experiences as much.
Yep, we all have. We all have. As I watched you try that case right here in Ingham County, you know, referred as the Backpage case.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And as we watched this case, and I've thought about this a lot lately, I didn't think there could be much to take the Flint water crisis off the front page here, but this Nassar story just seems to be developing in such a way that, you know, there's so many things that, you know, would normally be on the front page of the news, and they've just taken a back seat, you know, to this, and for a lot of reasons, because a lot of people are struck, even if their daughter wasn't involved, they realize that they're just but for the grace of God, that could have been somebody in my family.
Right, right. You know, I think there is also, because of the fact that he worked with the Olympic team and the Olympics, you know, there is this sense that he has been vetted and stands behind the country and all that is good, right?
I mean, you're right, except for you don't have to be with the Olympics. I mean, Michigan State is enough.
Right, right.
You're working at Michigan State here in East Lansing. We expect them to have a standard. They have, you know, tens of thousands of employees, and we understand that, you know, they don't control every single one of them, but we got to expect a lot more. People are presumed innocent, but at the same time, you know, we expect Michigan State to vet these people at such a degree that we can feel safe when they're treating us.
That's right. Amen. So, well, listen, my friend, I know you are, it sounds like you're on the road, probably coming
just
back from
a long... My nightly walk, so you caught me at a good time.
Awesome, awesome. Well, hopefully we get to play some golf this year, and the best to you. Keep up fighting the fight and doing great work.
Thanks for having me. A great lawyer and a great asset to the state of Michigan, Todd.
Thanks, bud. Be well.
Thanks. All right, bye.
So there you have it from someone on the front lines taking on a case that he is spearheading and the right cause for the victims. And so tragic and sad. And it sounds not like just one, two, it's 100 plus. So Andrew Boot going at it. We'll be back right after this with more on the lineup with Behind the Bench.
If you're seeking counsel, get to know Flood Law's Todd Flood. Call the office during business hours at 248-547-1032 or visit floodlaw.com. This is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. And now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. Well, feel free to call in 1-800-859-0957 or 1-800-859-0WJR. We just had on Andrew Abood, who was talking with us about the former doctor, as he properly corrected me, Nasser, who was the Olympic doctor, worked for Michigan State University and other agencies, and did just horrific things and violating and raping his patients and young girls to the extent that he has been all of his privileges and obviously rightfully so have been taken away from him, defaulted in a lawsuit, and they're moving forward, which as Andrew put it, when you default in a lawsuit in a civil case in the federal court, it's deemed to be admitted, the allegations. So it's no longer an allegation. It's deemed to be admitted. You can set aside a default if there's good cause shown and that there's no prejudice, and you got to meet a test to do so. But in this particular case, obviously, it would be very difficult to set that aside. So the best to him. As promised, we have a guest coming on tonight. Just briefly, as you can imagine, his schedule is constantly full and going at it on a daily basis with holding up the justice and the laws within our state and sitting on the high court, the Michigan Supreme Court. Justice Viviano is going to touch in with us briefly, and we'll get him back on at another time. He's been going at it today, just getting home, hopefully, not often and not always at this time, but sometimes later, and we're gonna get him on for a brief moment to talk about what's new in the Supreme Court and what we may be looking for in the future. Justice Viviano, are you with us?
I am, Todd. Good evening. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk with you as well, and good to hear your voice. It's always an honor and a pleasure. to talk with you. And thanks again for coming on the show. So a lot of things are happening in the Supreme Court of our state. We had Justice Young, who is no longer on the bench and is going to go into private practice. But you guys have your hands full and have been going at it. So what's new?
Well, you're right. Our former Chief Justice Bob Young has retired after 18 years on the court, and so we're adjusting to that, to him not being there. He obviously was a big presence, and we're awaiting the governor's decision on who he will appoint as Bob's replacement. And so, you know, Bob was very active with it, as you know, Todd, with court administration and pushing a lot of reforms, and really did a great job. He was our Chief Justice for 6 years.
Yes.
Making the courts more efficient and helping to improve our performance and improve our customer service and, you know, better use technology. And, you know, along with the governor promoting things like the business courts and other specialty courts and, you know, right-sizing the judiciary. So there were a lot of really important reforms.
Amen. There have been just you hit it. The business court and paring down the court to make it so it's fit. You guys have done that, and it's very noticeable. I mean, more so now. I can tell you as it gets traction and going forward with that plan, it's really done well.
I'll say just as a note, because it was important to me in Macomb County. You'll notice I didn't say downsizing, because even though there was an overall reduction and a lot of money saved,
right?
It allowed us to increase the size in places like Macomb County, where I'm from,
right?
Where the number of judges hadn't been increasing to match the increased population and the increased caseload over the years. So in some places, we actually were able to increase judges to make sure that cases were being handled efficiently and properly. Across the state of Michigan. So Bob did a lot of those things, and of course he's going to be missed. But I'm happy to report that our new Chief Justice, Steve Markman, is doing an excellent job awesome. Filling his footsteps and moving the court forward on a number of those same fronts. And so, you know, we're looking forward to our new member. We're very busy trying to get our opinions out. Our term ends at the end of July, so this is a very busy time for us
at
the court.
How many cases do you have, if you know, coming out?
I think we're still working on probably 20 opinions, maybe more than that have to be issued this term. So it's a busy time. We just got back from Petoskey. We go 2 times a year out into the community to hear cases. We were down in River Rouge last fall, and last week we were in Petoskey where we heard a case at the Petoskey High School, and there were high school students in from all the area schools in Charlevoix and Emmett County and Charlevoix County, but also places.
What a great experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Kids came from Mackinac Island on the ferry and flew in from Beaver Island where they come by airplane.
Oh,
a couple
that's awesome.
Students came with their teachers. So, yeah, it was really neat for us to be able to interact with the local bench and bar. And more importantly, students from the community, and explain what it is that our court does and how our state court system works and what the role of the state Supreme Court is. So we've been busy.
Well, listen, I know the family awaits you. I know you've been jamming and going hard. I can't wait to have you on for the next time, and we'll get you on for the whole show to talk about all the great things you're doing. And you know, everyone that gets to see you and meet you, the experience you carry to the bench of being a lawyer and then a circuit court judge. Governor Snyder made a great pick when he put you up there. And I got to tell you this today. I just it came to me as far as picks go. A prosecutor, young prosecutor from Wayne County, has her time in, and was just announced to the Third Circuit bench, Ms. Bozzi. So now it's going to be Judge Bozzi out of Dearborn. But she's a Wayne County prosecutor, and another great pick, which I think will fill a need in the circuit court. So,
yeah, I think that's great. The governor's really been doing a great job, I think, picking rule of law judges and people who really, want to work hard and contribute to the community and contribute to the bench. Todd, I just wanted to thank you for your support and for your kind words. You are correct that I was in Lansing, actually just getting home now from our court conference today, and a very busy day, but I want to say goodnight to my kids before they go to bed. We have small children at home, but I did have to run for office 2 times in 3 years, and you and a lot of your listeners were very supportive of me in my endeavor and my efforts to serve our great state on the Supreme Court. And so I want to thank you and all of your listeners for their support. Obviously could not be doing the work that I'm doing without the help of good people all across Michigan.
The pleasure is ours. You hold the People's Court in great, great stead. So very proud of you. So,
well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Yep. So, Justice Viviano, when you look at what he has done, when he got put into the circuit court in Macomb County, lawyers, both criminal on the defense and in the prosecution and the civil sides of the plaintiffs and the defense, all were very happy that they got Justice Judge Viviano. And then as he moved up to the Supreme Court, he's one of those judges that calls it as he sees it, and rule of law judge. You can hold him as a judge in high esteem as being one of the good ones, one of the great ones, and hopefully he's there for a long, long time. Anyway, with that, we'll be back. We got a few things we're going to cover and talk about. Feel free to call in 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0WJR. A few things that we want to cover before we get when we get back, and if you have any questions, call in.
From the hallowed halls of Flood Law, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Flood Law. Flood Law, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. So that was great having Justice Viviano on. We've been very fortunate to have Justice Viviano and Justice Zara and Justice McCormick on with others. It's always great being able to talk with them and get kind of the inside of what's going on and what they're doing. I must tell you, and I mentioned to Justice Viviano as well, you got Wayne County Prosecutor Marion Bazzi, who was appointed to the circuit court. Just a great pick. Someone that, as I've seen her in the prosecutor's table and in the courtroom, she has done some amazing work prosecuting the bad guys and taking care of victims. She's someone that I think will be a welcome addition to the circuit court here in Detroit. You know, one of the things that is on the front page of the paper that's been out there is, as Andrea Boot talked about, and feel free to call in as we close down the show, 1-800-859-0WJR with your questions, is we didn't talk about Nassar's criminal case that's going on, the rape charges. And as that is coming to fruition here soon, The thing about this preliminary exam, that's the stage where the prosecution has to show probable cause that a crime was committed and probable cause that that person committed it. That's pretty much going to be very simple. It's a question of fact, just with the allegation by one witness getting up and testifying. The question is who's going to testify, how many. And as I understand it, this is getting such attention that they don't have enough room in the court to hold the exam or to have what people are expecting to be a lot of witnesses, a lot of people that want to watch this exam. So that'll be interesting. I would imagine they're going to stream that exam live someplace. They'll make it so people can see it in the in corridors throughout the courtroom. Tragedy and tragic and ugly that I don't know what it says, but this man, where people probably not just all family members, of course, and, or but people just want to go watch that case. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Okay, I scratched my head. Why? But why people would want to go see it? I can imagine it's court watching. Maybe it's some entertainment, but it's just such an ugly case. And it's really for everyone to know. The preliminary exam is going to be a relatively simple exam, I would imagine. You're not going to have. It's not going to be a lot of Perry Mason. It's going to just be some ugly facts coming out on the from the witness chair. And we'll see this man in a circuit court relatively soon, up for trial. And who knows where that's at. And the fact that he defaulted in his civil case, the question will be in any way, shape, or form if that can be used in the criminal case at some point in time. Doubtful, but, you know, it's all, as Andrew said, it is an admission. So we shall see. We shall see. We have a Supreme Court seat, and that question is filling a lot of people's time of who the governor may pick for that Supreme Court spot. There's so many great candidates out there from all different circuit courts or court of appeals. But the big question is, does he go with a trial judge, someone that has had the experience of boots on the ground like Justice Viviano, or has practiced law or taught law and understands it? Or does he go for a judge that has been sitting a while, hasn't practiced law, and doesn't know or doesn't have the experience of knowing the boots on the ground? Maybe someone in the appellate section or whomever. I got to tell you, every time that we see a judge that gets to the bench that has actually, in the circuit level, that has actually practiced law and knows the rules of evidence, knows the rules, the court rules, it is always much easier for a trial lawyer to practice, oftentimes, than not. And as that judge moves up the ladder and goes to the Supreme Court, like Justice Viviano has, and Justice Zara and many others with them, it just gives something to the bench, to that judge, that they know the practical sides of things too. You find just a different, I don't know, tone sometimes, or different perspective that oftentimes you won't when you practice in front of a judge that has doesn't have the idea of what it's like to put a trial together or put a case together or try a case. It's interesting. So we shall see, and hopefully sooner than later, as that seat is filled. And hopefully one that can mesh and work well with the great bench we have up there now. So plenty of going on here in Detroit, here in Michigan, here in the state, and around us in the Midwest. And we will we'll come back next time with Behind the Bench, and we'll have some special guests on. Hopefully we get some of our legislators that have been contemplating new laws and what those mean and how they want to get them passed, and what effect it'll have on you, the citizen. So to everybody out there that listens regularly and has stayed with us with Behind the Bench, Till next time, and thank you for all those new listeners. We'll be back with some great guests next month with Behind the Bench.